Go ahead and read the first verse in Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. And oftentimes we find ourselves in a place to where we are caught in situations. It seems like we're under an attack. Have you ever felt under attack? Have you ever woke up one morning and just felt as though you've been attacked? Have you ever been asleep at night and feel like you've been are being attacked even through your sleep? Have you ever felt friendless, alone, separated from, wondering just where God is in the moment of my life where I really need Him? Well, I want you to know something. That's just the enemy trying to trick you, if I can use simple terminology there, or trying to manipulate you into believing that God is nowhere to be found. He is somewhere in the distance. He's down at 7-Eleven getting a cup of coffee. He's somewhere that you can't find Him because He's too busy for you. That is the enemy's lies to your heart. God loves you right where you're at. He loves you no matter what you're going through. He is there for you and He will be with you no matter what. And I want to speak to you on that subject today. Faith triumphs. Faith triumphs in your life. And I want you to really pay attention to this message, because the Holy Spirit, when I was praying this week, really put a strong unction on me to speak this message today here at this church. And I think it's really important. I've never really spoken this particular one-point scripture before in Psalm 25 and 2, where it literally states again, "Oh my God, I trust, lean upon," out of the Amplified now. "Oh my God, I trust, lean upon, rely on, and am confident in you. Let me not be put to shame or my hope in you be disappointed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." So God wants us to trust Him, to lean upon Him, and to rely on Him no matter what's going on in our life. And oftentimes we may find ourselves withdrawn from that, because we sense that God is at such a distance. One of the greatest things I ever heard anyone say in my whole career of ministry, my whole relationship with God, is that Jesus is just a breath away. He's that close. He's always there. One man jumped up one time and said, "You know, I don't believe that He's just a breath away. I believe He's living in my heart." Amen. He's always with us. He's always there to care for us. He's always there to strengthen us. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 14, also out of the Amplified, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere." You see, when we walk in victory, when we live in triumphal times, when we embrace the victory that Christ gave us through the cross of Calvary, we literally are a fragrance, that God diffuses that fragrance where people will see that there is a joy in our life, a victory in our life, that we are not a defeated people, but we are a conquering group of people. We are an overcoming group of people, and that we have Jesus Christ leading us, who is the captain of our salvation. He's always there. The knowledge of triumph or victory is not read about or witnessed in a theatrical display, but lived out in the heart of the believer. We can read stories. How many read novels? How many love to read? I do. And how many just love to go ahead and sit down with a good novel and hope that the hero of that novel at the end will continue on to a new segment, that you can read it because that hero won the battle? You know, it's important that we see that. You know, the Bible is the greatest novel ever written. And the hero of that novel, Jesus Christ, lives on to bring victory after victory after victory in our life. And to live that way is our choice. Now, I'm going to tell you some things today that may have you stop and think, I need to make my life a little different because I want to live in victory. I want to live with a hope that surpasses worry and anxiety. I want to have an expectation that states that I know that whatever God's going to do, He's going to do great because great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Amen. Somebody will lift their hand today and say, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The supernatural victories that God gives His children are awesome just by the fact that God acts on our behalf. I don't know if you ever look at things like this, but I do all the time. Sometimes I think how big God is and how small I am. And then I realize that He thinks upon me. That's awesome. I don't think how big I am. I think how small I am. And I think how big God is. He's so big, the universe can't contain Him. Praise God. I heard one preacher say one time he saw a vision of Jesus and He was 700 feet. I said this back. I said, that's awful small. The Jesus I know is much bigger than that. Praise God. And I want you to know something, that God thinks upon each and every one of you. I believe that this message is stated here today because you're here. I believe that God wants something great and dynamic to happen in your life, that you will move in the power and the anointing of triumph every moment of every day. You know, God doesn't like us to drag ourselves into church or to drag ourselves into work or to drag ourselves into the breakfast nook or to drag ourselves throughout the day in some sort of a defeatist attitude that it's going to be okay, but today I'm just beat up. I'm just done. I'm over with, you know. Go ahead, just kick me one more time, devil, because I got a little space left for another bruise, you know. No, I believe God wants us to live in victory every moment of every day. So when we come into church, we march into church victorious. When we go to our employment place, we come in victorious. When we go to that breakfast nook in the morning to have your tea or coffee or whatever your favorite appropriate food for the day would be, that you are there in victory. Praise God, you know. Some folks say the only time I can pray is after I drink coffee. No, you got to pray because you have victory in Jesus' name. Amen. You have the ability to say to the Lord, I know that You are the captain of my salvation. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. And I'm going to, looking unto the King of Kings, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him, looked beyond the cross. Amen. And He gave us the ability to live in a conquering, overcoming lifestyle every moment of every day. I like what my wife had to say today. We are so much formed by what the television puts into our life and how we're to live and how we're to speak and what we have to do. I mean, you can watch Dr. Phil and you can get depressed by the end of that show. You can watch Oprah and think, my God, she's got the right religion. My God, that woman's religion is so messed up. I'm telling you right now, she may be popular here, but I don't think she's going to be too popular in glory. Someone say amen. My God, don't sit on me like this right now. I'm trying to get you to realize victory is right at your doorstep. I think some people get more excited about watching Ellen than they do reading the Bible. You see, I'm talking about living in a supernatural, victorious life. That you are living in triumph. I'm trying to tell you today, and help me, Holy Ghost, that you will realize that your life needs to be walking in victory and you need to be in triumph at all times. Think about your week this week. Did you live in victory? Did you live in triumph? Or did the enemy just dictate to you and cause you to feel almost defeated at times where you just sat down and you said, what am I even doing? The problems are so large. The burdens are so heavy. Well, you know, this week I was burdened. Oh, I was burdened. I just was burdened. So many problems came my way. And I sat down and I thought, God, this has got to stop. That, you know, the enemy is just attacking. And I just felt like the Lord said, go and read this particular section of this particular book. Oswald Chambers' book, His Utmost for My Highest. And literally, oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I went right there and the opening scripture was Psalm 55:22. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Amen. And so for 3 days, all I've been speaking to the Lord and outward and publicly, and I confessed it before 250 people yesterday, cast all your burdens upon the Lord. What keeps you living in defeat is carrying the burdens that you're not able to carry. Praise God. But when you can cast your burdens unto the Lord, you begin to walk and live in the victory of the Holy Ghost of the living God. Someone look at their neighbor and say, I'm casting. Hallelujah. The enemy sees these victories as a statement and testimony of God's power in our lives. This power, which is a gift in our lives, conquers, trumps the vast trickery of each principality and power that rises up against the knowledge of God. I love what it says in Colossians 2:15, though. You see, the enemy, he's so good at making you feel like he can defeat you, but something happened at Calvary's cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That "in it" is triumphing over them in Calvary, at Calvary. He literally said to them, put your weaponry down. I'm disarming you. You have no power anymore because I'm raising up on the third day. I'm coming out of that tomb alive forevermore, and you shall not have power over my people. Amen. Move and live in the very power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. My golly, it's free. It's a gift from God, salvation. It's a gift from God, victory. To know that what we have in Him is so much more than what the enemy can ever give us. One person said, the lowest valley God places you in is higher than the highest mountain the devil can ever offer you. Why so much defeat when the process of victory is always being invested in the life of a believer? Why? All that Jesus invested in you and I, why is there so much defeat in the church today? Why is there so much defeat in Christian households today? Why is there so much divorce and difficulty and sin raging through the sections of Christianity today, when there should be joy and victory and the depth and richness of mercy, where faith should be applied every day of their life instead of that which is not applied? Faith needs to be applied, but yet doubt seems to conquer faith in so many lives. Let me tell you, what conquers doubt is expectancy, knowing that what is hopeless is not hopeless to God. What is not able to be made by you can be made by God. What you don't see, He already sees, and He's inviting you into what He sees. Let me tell you that sickness may have a hold of you, but I want to tell you about a healer today. His name is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And His word goes forth, and they were all healed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, for He healeth all my diseases. Praise God. Someone say amen. God is the healer of our lives. The matter of shame in a Christian's life. Wow. Living in shame, a Christian living in shame, living in defeat. The display of shame in a Christian's life. Instead of walking in mounting up on a victorious mount, they just stand back and live in a valley of defeat. Sometimes you walk up to some Christians and you see them coming and you go up to them and you say, how you doing? And before you know it, by the end of their sentence, you are depressed. You're thinking, why did I even go here this day? Well, do you have a minute? And they go through this list of what's going on in their life and it's so bad. And by the end of that, you forgot how to respond. Because all you can think about is, how can I get out of here? It's because the enemy has defeated them. It's not them that's the difficulty. It's not them that's the problem. It's just the enemy has just lambasted them over and over in their dreams, in their walk, in their friendships with people. He has just lambasted them down and down. And they've lived so long in defeat, they don't even know what victory tastes like any longer. And the result of shame in a Christian's life, that result sometimes can cause someone to fall away from God because they don't have any victory left. They don't have that sense of relationship left. They don't have that ability anymore to even pray. When they sense an unction to prayer, they decide that it's something that they don't do any longer. When they get the knowledge to go to church, they make an excuse not to be in the house of God. When they know that the importance of taking time and reading God's word in their home or in their car or at their break on their employment spot, whatever it may be, they simply don't. Because the enemy has got them so defeated. I'm going to take you through some words here, and I just want you to spend some moments with me on these words. The first thing, when the Bible says shame there, and when the Bible talks about having the enemy come after them in the actuality of let not the enemy triumph over me. When it's speaking about that and when it's saying that not to be put to shame, or in other words, not to lose hope or in God at all. The Hebrew word there deals with this word, embarrassment. And what the enemy wants to do in your life is he wants to embarrass you. He wants to embarrass your testimony. He wants you to feel embarrassed. He wants to bring shame into your life. He wants to vocally, loudly display you as a failure. He'll trick you into that. That's what his position is to do. He wants you to feel embarrassed being a Christian. I love telling people I'm a Christian. I remember meeting people years ago, and I would say to them, how you doing? And they say, I'm good. And I said, my name is Pastor Dennis Adams, and I'm a Pentecostal, and I pastor the Church of God. And they'll go like this. They say, well, I'm a Baptist. And they cover up what they are because they're, and I always, you know me, I've never outspoken, you know, and I said to them immediately, I said, why are you going and saying you're a Baptist like that? Why don't you just say that you're a Baptist? You're a Christian. Yeah. Amen. Oh, I've rocked up to people before and I've said the same thing. And they say, well, you know, I'm a Catholic. I said, well, praise God. All right. Don't say it like it's an excuse. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like you're coming to get up the stairs, you're in a wheelchair. You know what I mean? I'm in a wheelchair. I know you're in a wheelchair. That's not an excuse. You can still make it. Amen. Oh, come on now, church. Amen. You see, the enemy will try to keep you so down, so low, so ridiculed that the second thing he'll do to you is he'll bring confusion into your life. Confused about what you believe. I really don't know if I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I really don't know about that speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. I'm not really sure that this laying on of hands is for healing is biblical. I'm not really sure that I can be saved. I don't know about this. I'm really confused about my relationship with God and my church. Where's Dr. Phil? I need Dr. Phil. Let me tell you something. What we need, and all's we need, is Jesus Christ. What we need to know is the King is with us at all times. He's driving in the truck with you or the car. He's at the grocery store with you. He's taking an exam with you. He's in an examination room with you. He's at the doctor's office with you. He's in the bedroom with you as you go to sleep at night. He's there in the morning because he's protected you through the sleep that you've had, because my God never sleeps nor slumbers. Praise God. He's always awake, always watching, always making sure that victory belongs to you and I. Confusion comes over us. Confused about what you believe. Confused about commitment, dedication. Confused about what it really means to be in love with God. What it really means to be dedicated to the kingdom's work and to embrace the principles of the Bible, to live by them. I challenge you today by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that you would begin to embrace the Word as your best friend. That you would read that Word and take it and come alive in the Word of God. Praise God. And that you can move forward in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you what's going to happen if you do that. You're going to start to walk a different step. You're going to walk in joy. You're going to walk in power. You're going to walk in knowledge of the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And no matter what the enemy throws at you, he's going to miss, because you got the shield of faith up, and it'll quench every fiery missile that the devil can throw at you. Praise God, because your faith is causing you to triumph over the enemy. Amen. Then it brings that place where, and I really love what God said to Joshua. He said, be of good courage. Be not dismayed. And the devil loves to make us dismayed. Hesitant. Unsure. Should I do this? When God says get out of the boat and swim, you need to get out of the boat and swim. When God says to do something, you need to do it. And then you say, well, you know, I don't know. How can you ever look at the Lord and say, I'm not ready? He looks at your day. As a matter of fact, God knows exactly how you're going to enjoy lunch today. And God knows exactly how you embrace tomorrow. I can't wait for tomorrow. Because God's already created it, and I'm stepping into what He created. Amen. I am loving God today, because tomorrow is going to be another day to love Him in. I just thank God for what He did yesterday. Amen. It was beautiful what God did yesterday. What did He do? He brought the sun up in the sky. Amen. He brought people in my path that I could tell about Jesus Christ. He allowed me to seek His face. He allowed me to walk in the knowledge of His Word. He allowed me to be filled with His Holy Ghost and with the evidence of speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit. He allowed me to call out your name yesterday. He allowed me to walk out in my property last night at 12:38 a.m. this morning and say, God bless everyone that attends Hope for the Bay Church of God in San Pablo, California. Bless their life. You say, preacher, you didn't do that. Oh, come by. Come on by. Drive over. You'll catch me in the middle of my driveway looking up at the stars of glory through the redwood trees, praising a King that hung those stars up just for me to seek Him in. Amen. Of course, I could sit in front of the TV, watch some ungodly television and be entertained by some ungodly situation and get all hung up in that and then try to sleep with something ungodly going on in your mind. Fourthly, the enemy will try to discourage you. You'll never make it. You'll never be able to do what they do. You know, the devil loves to put the big loser sign on people. I'm going to tell you what. When you got saved, you became a winner. You're a winner. And the devil knows it, and he wants to do everything he can to keep you from being a sold-out believer. Let not my enemy triumph over me. You see, David's saying, here I am, God. I'm about to go into battle, but I want you to know I don't want to be put to shame here. I don't want to lose my hope in you. Let not my enemy triumph over me. What he's saying, he's stepping back and he's saying, God, I'm one individual with a small army, and that's a great big army out there. So I'm just making sure that I have everything in order before I step out in that battlefield. I am not going to be ashamed to call out your name. I am not going to be ashamed to tell them who I am and what I believe. Amen. I'm not going to be ashamed to testify of what you've done for my life. I'm not going to be ashamed at all to be called a son or a daughter of the living God. Amen. And after I do all that, God, would you do something else? Don't let them beat me. Fight this battle for me. Don't let him beat me. I love what that young boy did after he brought lunch. He brought lunch. Jesse said, go find your brothers and take them some lunch. They're in a battle. They're hungry. Typical dad, you know, watching out for the kids. Most dads should be doing that today, but they're not. They're watching out their football, their baseball. They're watching out something else. Sometimes they're looking over the fence at somebody else's wife. But you know what I'm saying to you? They need to understand. You got to watch out for your kids. He shows up. What are they doing? They're hiding behind rocks. Talking about how big that one giant is. One giant. Whole point of the conversation. The king of Israel. Saul, chosen by God. A head taller than everybody else and very good looking, by the way. He's in the tent. Freaking out while everybody else is hiding. David walks in there and says, what are you doing? He says, I'm in the tent there hiding. There's a giant out there and I'm trying to figure out how we can get out of this. David said, I can handle it. I'll go talk to him. Who are you? I'm Jesse's boy, David. Those are my three brothers out there. Praise God. I brought them lunch today. They're over there eating behind the rocks. So while they're eating, I thought I'd come by and see the king. I'm willing to go out there. Saul says, well, I don't know. David said, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. I can take care of this. Saul said, here, take my armor. David wasn't going to be disrespectful. David said, okay, put on Saul's armor, looked at it, took it off and said, this doesn't work for me. I'm going to wear the armor of God. I'm going to gird my loins with truth. I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm going to pick up the shield of faith and it shall quench every fiery dart of the enemy. I'm picking up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and out of my mouth this day shall come forth thy word. I'm going to pray for all the saints with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praise God. And I'm going to march out in that field. He walked out in there in that armor of God, and Philistine called him a dog. He said, you can call me a dog all you want and say anything you want, but you're not offending me. If you look above me and you look beyond those rocks wherever he's hiding, who you're offending is the God of all of Israel. And before Goliath could say anything else, bam! I tell you what victory brought David. He went over there, cut his head off. He got a wife, he got a house, and he was tax-free for the rest of his life. Someone say, I want David's law in my life! Fifthly, sometimes we become really disheartened because they're not going my way. It's never your way. It's God's way. I know you want me to turn it down. Now, I don't want to hear, I like it my way. This is not Burger King. This is the Bible. It's God's way. And what's God's way is the best way. I love it. You know, I love it when those folks didn't show up for dinner and that the chef and the owner didn't say, oh, well, let's just go ahead and package it all up. We'll serve it tomorrow night. He said, go on out there into the roadways and get some folks to come in. They went out there in the roadways and come in. He said, there's still room. He said, then go out in there in the highways and the byways. Don't just invite, but compel them to come in.
That Greek word for compel is to grab their collar and draw them into this kingdom, because what they're coming to eat is eternal, praise God. And what they're dining with out there in that world is not eternal, but it is death. Let me tell you something right now. Take of the word and see that it is sweet. Amen. Then we become demoralized sometimes. We're just demoralized. We're down. Then we become disgraced. We become discredited. We become disillusioned. We find ourselves in a place to where we don't even know anymore why we go to church. Is there anything there for me? Yes, there's something there for you. There is salvation. There is healing. There is hope. I love the Bible because the Bible says that we serve a God who is the God of hope. His hope, Romans 5:5, faileth not. Amen. He'll never, ever fail you. He'll never lie to you. He's the only guarantee that's guaranteed to guarantee to be a guarantee. Let me tell you something. He'll never give up on you. He'll never let you down. He'll never throw you to the side. He'll always take you closer to his heart. He'll always bring you to a sharper place in your mind. He'll always take you to a place where you can say, I have spent time with the Lord my God. How do we lack trust in an all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God? Praise God. How do you lack trust in that? I think that's marvelous. I'll tell you a miracle that I have. I get to see this every week. It's a miracle that I stand on publicly funded and privately funded property, where even the director of this property said that the ACLU will call me on the phone because you're here, but don't worry, I will handle it. Where people have screamed at me, you shouldn't be saying those words. We're going to call the ACLU on you. I don't respond. I just keep saying Jesus. Yes. Saves. Right there in a property where people are there and they're going through all these programs. I make statements such as this. There's not a program on this earth that can bring to you what Jesus will. Amen. You need to give your heart to Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, the only answer to this earth. That's a miracle. Because he's an all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful God that can make it happen wherever you want it to happen. He can make it happen. I don't know if I believe that, preacher. You sound like you got it down, but I don't know if I do. Let me tell you what you need to know. Is that God loves you. He cares for you. You're his child. He bought you with a price. He paid a debt he did not owe. He rose on the third day. He just, you know, what I love about Christianity is this, and I'm saying this facetious, is we come in on Easter Sunday dressed up, ready to go up because he came up. We're all into that, and we're just excited about it, and it's just there, and oh, we can't stand it. But by the third Sunday after Easter, we come in dragging the heels. I'm not even dressing up for church anymore, praise God. I don't even feel like washing my clothes, you know. I'm living in such guilt. I sinned this week, and the enemy's just been pounding on me, and I'm just a God somewhere down the road. I called his number the other day, and I got the menu system. Press 1 if you need a real blessing. Press 2 if you got some tithe to give. Press 3 if you want me to repeat these issues. If not, press 0 and an operator will get to you as soon as possible. And you get on there and you press the 0 and all of a sudden it's B.B. King playing the blues. And you're sitting there going, I don't want to hear the blues right now. I need some joy music, praise God. Let me tell you, joy is the strength that we have in Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And last time I looked, Jesus is happy. Praise God. And then we also feel this separation. That's the devil. Wants you to feel separated. Not part of anything. Away from God. One of the greatest tricks of the devil is to isolate you and your problem to where you're away from everybody and you're isolated. He does this to ministers all the time. He gets them going through stuff and he gets them isolated. And, you know, all they have to do is pick up the phone, call another minister, or call their accountability partners, call their core group, and say, you know what, I'm feeling a little alone. But what gets in the way? They just feel like if anybody else knows, then they know that I'm a minister and I'm going through something. Well, let me tell you something. You young ministers that are just starting and you that are coming into the ministry and the strength after years of service, let me tell you something. When you go into the ministry, you are going to go through something. And you ain't going to like it. Excuse the vernacular. You ain't going to like it. The devil will come after you no matter how much you think you're the greatest thing that ever walked on this earth. And when you preach, all heaven stops. Gabriel calls everybody to stop. The trumpet doesn't blow. Oh, the seraphim and the cherubim, they just kind of sit back. And God himself goes across glory. And everything's said. And God leans over and says, I want to hear what this one says. Let me tell you something, my friend. The devil, he wants you to be failed. He wants you to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. He wants you to fall morally. He wants you to use bad language. He wants you to do drugs and drink alcohol. And he wants you to be a failure. He wants you to be somebody that connives and cheats. And he wants you to live a life that all you can think about is how much money you can gain. Let me tell you something about the Bible. When you read about those that serve God, they went through hell to get to the other side to reach a soul. Their heads were cut off. They were hung upside down. They were sawed in half. They kept on going for Jesus Christ. When one died, another one rose up. Amen. When one continued on, the others helped him get further. Let me tell you something right now. When they were starving, a little lady fed them food, the last meal she had. But because she fed the prophet, she had food for the rest of her life, and her son lived. Let me tell you something about a king that'll watch out for his servants. Don't think this because those folks on TV tell you it's what's the date today, by the way? It's 4/14. So everybody today needs to give $414. And by the end of this message, you'll get blessed if you write your check right now. Come on, that's witchcraft. Let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you, God loves you. God cares for you. And if you're going through something, it's not about how much money you have that shows you're successful. It's how much you obey a King of glory that made it possible for you to serve him. I hope I'm preaching this morning. I just hope so. Don't feel you're in your isolation, that you're alone. That's the devil. Because even when you're feeling alone, Jesus is there with you. He's there. He may not say anything, but he's there. Somewhere in the Bible, I say that facetiously, Deuteronomy, and also in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always there with you, he says, no matter what you're going through. That's why I get the biggest kick out of these guys one time in a meeting. I told you this. These ministers got together and they invited me. We were all sitting around, and this guy breaks out 10 sins that ministers do. He reads 10 sins and goes, this one and that one and that one. He goes, what are you? What? And he comes to me. He goes, what's your sin? I said, I don't have any sins on that list. He got mad at me, angry with me because I didn't fit his list. He said, you mean when you go speaking out in a hotel room and your wife's not with you, you don't rent adult movies? I said, no, I don't rent adult movies at all. He said, I don't believe that. He says, well, if you're there alone. I said, I'm not there alone. He said, you just told me your wife's not there. I said, she's not there. Then who's there with you? And I went, Jesus. Hello. I didn't leave him in the lobby. I know he's the driver of my car. He's not in the front seat waiting for me to come out. He's in that hotel room with me. By the way, the meeting didn't end well. I walked out and they were upset with me because I didn't fall into their little sin category. Christ came to bless us. John 10:10. Because this is what the enemy does. He comes to steal
and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. You see, the enemy comes to steal your dreams. Do you have a dream today? Don't let him have it. It's yours. God put that dream in your life. No matter where you're at today, no matter how far away from that dream you think you are, and no matter how long you've been walking towards that dream and you haven't met it yet, it could be 1 year, it could be 1 week, it could be one day, it could be 10 years, it could be 20 years, it could be 30 years. You're walking towards that dream. And let me tell you something right now. Don't let the devil steal your dream. It's your dream. God gave it to you. You own it. And God is securing it. God is investing in you. God has it there for you. You say, preacher, I'm almost 70 years old and I haven't seen my dream fulfilled. Well, you're almost 70. Praise God. You still got time to get there to 80 or 90, whatever it may be. But that dream will come to pass. Devil try to kill your desires. Take your desires and just throw them away. The desire to serve God, the desire to pray, the desire to write, the desire to author, the desire to go ahead and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the desire to be a servant in the kingdom of God, the desire to be a good wife, the desire to be a good husband, the desire to be a good parent, the desire to be a good teacher, whatever it may be. The devil will try to take your desire. See, if he gets your desire, you don't have a want to. A good friend of mine, Church of God in Christ preacher. Of course, I'm not going to drop names, but he was preaching one day and he simply said it this way. He says, all God's looking for is someone with the want to. If you got the want to, you're going to get through. Amen. Amen. Simply put, the want to is the desire to serve God. I love to preach, can you tell? I just love to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to destroy your destiny. You see, everybody in this room has a destiny. And the devil will do all he can is to give you a detour away from your destiny. To go this way and to go that way. I started off my life going one way. Ended up going the wrong way, got further going the wrong way. I got such in the wrong way, I didn't think there was any other way. My desires were not to serve God. My desires were not to walk with the King of Kings. My desires were not to live a holy, godly life. My desires was to stay high, stay on drugs, stay taking everything I could take, stay away in an outlaw motorcycle gang the best way I could, to have a desire to be there, to be a president of that, to move away from God and to hurt people and to destroy people's lives and to party all night long for tomorrow we may die. That's the life I had. But on my way going that way, a woman by the name of Theda Pagan came into my life, said three things to me. Jesus loves you. Bam! Jesus loves you. I tried to prove her wrong. She kept on saying it. Jesus loves you. My wife gets saved. I said, thank God she's going to heaven just like me now, because the faith I was in guaranteed me glory. Even after I die, I had some moments where somebody could come in and say some prayers over me and I make it. If not, I go to this place prior to heaven. And then there in that place prior to heaven, people can say all these prayers for me down here and they can make me a jailbreak up there. Let me tell you something, my friend. Oh yeah, I was all set. I was ready. It didn't matter. My wife got saved. How dare her? You know what I told my wife? I never told you this. You know what I told? She knows what I told her. Standing in Stuart, Florida. I was down there doing a drug deal. Standing there. She came out to the car and I said, I'm heading home. This is what I told her. I said, you need Jesus. No, you need me more than you need Jesus. I told her, I said, you just lost the best thing you ever had. I'm not joking with you, exactly what I told her. I was full of pride and sin. I got in that car and drove off and I went to the airport, West Palm Beach, and there are the police waiting for me. DEA agents, FBI agents, plain clothes, airport police all sectioned off waiting for me. I walked one way, they all walked my way. I walked the other way, I said, this isn't right. I know I'm popular, good looking, but I'm not dealing with this. My wife may have just lost the best thing she ever had, but I'm not going with you. That's what I was thinking. I got back in the car and drove home. Stuart, Florida, where she was at, and her mother was at. I walked in that room. I was so angry for an hour and a half, I screamed like a maniac in that room. I come out of that room and I said, I need Jesus. They prayed for me that night. Three demons came out of me that were living inside my life, ridiculing me and driving me away from God. I had to give their names out. They asked me their names. They delivered me. It took a couple hours, but out of my system, out of my being, out of that temple that God wanted to live in, that house that was filthy, came three demonic powers. I gave my heart to the Lord in 1976, and I've never turned back. The devil has tried to come and get me, but he didn't find any room. The house was clean, but Jesus moved in. Outside, there's a little sign that says, it is occupied by the Lord and the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So the devil can't come in. So what I'm trying to tell you today is this. Don't let the devil destroy your destiny. If someone tells you Jesus loves you, believe it. He loves you. Praise God. And you can make it. You will make it. You're that train that's not saying, I think I can. You're that locomotive that's going up that hill saying, I know I can. I already know what the other side looks like. Christ came to give us that victory. We are overcomers by Him. We are more than conquerors in Him and through Him. Christ causes us to live by faith, and by faith have a triumphant life. None who trust and hope in the Lord will be put to shame. Faith in God brings victory. Obedience in God brings victory. Praise to God brings victory. Surrender to God brings victory. That's why worship is so important. During worship, you're praising and praising God, and you're getting victory, and you're coming in out of a world that's come trampling on you, and you got victory in your soul. You're praising God and your hands are lifted up and the burdens are falling off and the shackles are broken and God has given you victory and triumph and you can surrender all to Jesus. Amen. Let me close on these scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5 and 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Death and Hades in the grave, in 1 Corinthians 15, 54, 55, have no sting or victory. When I die, I'm not going to die. I'm going to heaven. Grave aren't going to hold me down. I love that old sign, no grave going to hold me down. And it's not going to happen. I love that song, Jesus on the Mainline, tell Him what you want. Praise God. I love that old song, whose report do you believe? Let me tell you right now, I believe in the report of the Lord. Amen. I don't believe in the report of the news. I believe in the report of the Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. I can call Him 24/7 and He's on the line. No menu system there at all. Nothing but Him. Praise God. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And if you want a healing, tell Him what you want. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell Him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Oh, someone call Him up today. Someone call Him up. Call Him up. 2 Corinthians 20, 22. I love this. It's so simple. Three armies, bigger than, badder than any three armies that has been living in the land in the known world, coming after Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat was not a good king in the first place, but he had enough sense that he better call on a prophet. The prophet comes, they fast. Prophet says, stand still. God says, stand still. Know that he is Lord. The battle's not yours, but this is what his design is for you to go into the battle. Fast and take your choir and send them in. I love God. Three of the baddest armies in the world on that planet. And God says, sing. You know, I love it because it ends this message so perfectly. I'm telling you today, you've been in a battle. I know you have. I can tell just by the way you yawned just now. You've been in a battle. I know that. Let me tell you something. Sing. Sing. Sing and begin to acknowledge him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And the Bible says that when they went, they began to sing and to praise in 2 Chronicles 20:22. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. It's because they praised. How important is praise? There you go. Just praise. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Just praise. When everyone who knew and loved Jesus witnessed his crucifixion and death, sought out places to mourn and weep after he died. That's what they did. I'm going to go hide and mourn and weep. He's gone. They forgot what he said. I'm wondering how many in the church today forget what he says. He's alive. He's not gone anywhere. As a matter of fact, he's here today. He's filling every seat that's not filled. He's got this building surrounded with angels of strength and valor, with fiery chariots and swords, ready to ward off any evil attack against you. He blessed your coming in. He's going to bless your going out. You can look up to the hills whence cometh your help, and you'll see your help cometh from the Lord. Amen. You can see that you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. That's not a shadow of despair. That's his wing protecting you. 1,000's going to fall to your left, 10,000 to your right. No pestilence going to come near thy dwelling, and no evil shall befall you because you love the Lord in his name. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You'll not dash your foot against a stone. He'll protect you. He never sleeps nor slumber. He'll always be there with you. Forgetting his promise of victory and eternal life. When they saw him alive on the great resurrection day, and on into the week ahead, their hope was renewed and their expectation was indescribable to what they could receive through faith in God. God will not allow you to be put to shame. Rise up and receive victory today in Jesus' name. Rise up today, church. Walk in victory. Preacher, do you have problems? Every day I have problems. Every day. Somehow or another, a problem finds my phone number. Finds me where I'm at. Finds me through the email. Every day I have problems. But every day I choose to sing. Every day I choose to praise. Every day I choose to reach out and help the poor. Every day I do what I can to get the devil mad. Amen. I'm not going to say the devil is going to get angry, because the angry people get angry, but insane people get mad. The devil's insane thinking he's going to beat us up. Someone shout amen. Today I want to offer you